Shami HaMikra has spent enormous amounts of time and that which is found
Sorry, we lost you for a second. I muted everyone. If you could just start again, please. Sorry.
Okay.
Now you're unmuted.
Many of the Mefarshim have focused on a comparative analysis between the story of the Meraglim as recorded here in Parshas Shlach and the episode of the Meraglim that's found in Sefer Yehoshua. So I would like to begin the shiur with a discussion of some of those areas of analogy and distinction. Even a cursory glance at both parshios will reveal a great divide between the two episodes. Here in Parshas Shlach, the Torah describes a mission of 12 Rosh Yeshiva Yisrael, 12 heads of tribes who are instructed to reconnoiter the land, examine its topography and its economic potential. The lashon of the pasuk is that Moshe Rabbeinu instructs them, Urisem es haaretz mahi v'yatzom hayoshev aleha hechazoku harofe hamatu imrov u'mohaaretz ashehu yoshev ba hatovahi imrov u'mohe yarim ashehu yoshev ba'ena habamachanim im b'mitzorim u'mohaaretz hashmeinohi imroza Hayeshba eight imayim. The Meraglim devoted 40 days, Arba'im Yom, to this task, and they reported back on the fruitfulness of Eretz Yisrael. But as we all know, there was also a disclaimer. There was a qualification, as they indicated. They spoke about Banu El Haaretz Asher Shelachtonu. It's a land which is fruitful, full of fecundity. And then the Torah uses one word, which the Ramban says is the critical language. Efes. But. That is the disclaimer. That's the qualification. And that is the land is occupied by giants. The land is a veritable, impregnable fortress. Efes kiyazom hayoshev ba'aretz v'harim b'tzuros gedolos me'od v'gam yilideh ha'anok ra'inu sham, and we have all the different nations that occupy Eretz Yisrael, Amalek, Chiti, Yebusi, Amori, and obviously the point being that it's not possible to conquer the land. Kolev ben Yefune immediately reacts. Vayahas Kolev Esa'om Moshe. And Kolev attempts to dispel the kind of pall that they created by making a very clear pronouncement. Vayomer, Olom Nale V'yarashnu Osa, Ki Yochol Nuchala. Namely, let us ascend, let us inherit Eretz Yisrael. We are capable of vanquishing the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. However, the Lashon Hara that they spread, the Meraglim, and propagated, was so insidious and so overpowering, and the Torah right away tells us the reaction to Kolev's statement. The Amoshim Asha'olu Ima Omro Lo Nucha La'alos El Ha'am. He said, Olo Nala, in very positive terminology, and they said the very antithesis. Lo nucha lalo salam. There's no way we could do it. Ki chazaku mimenu. And then the Torah spells out Vayotziu dibas haaretz, the lashon hara that was spoken, namely haaretz asher avarnu balasu osa eretz oicheles yoshivelhi. It's a land that somehow spews forth its inhabitants. The chalam asherinu b'tzolchan shemidos, and they inflated it. They saw the Nephilim, Bnei Anoch min haNephilim, Vanehi Beineinu kachagovim. In our eyes, we were almost like grasshoppers. V'chein ha'yinu b'yeneihem, and that's how they perceive us as well. A rather striking statement, how they knew how they were being perceived by others, and perhaps we'll get to that. The Gemara asked this question in Masechta Seita, and as a result, this led to, literally, a bechi, which became a bechi l'doros. V'yivku ha'am b'alayu ahu, that's the bechi of Leil Tisha B'Av, the bechi that relates to the Churban HaMikdash. Essentially, that bechi led to the gloom and doom and to the querulous and peevish complaints that swelled into a chorus of Klal Yisrael coming to Moshe Rabbeinu on our own. Lu masnu bi'aretz Mitzrayim, halavai, we should have died in Egypt. V'lam Hashem mevi yosonu l'aretz azos linpol b'cherev. Halo tov lanu shub Mitzrayim, better we should go back to Egypt. And even though Yeshua and Kolev, both of them, struggled valiantly to stem the tide, as the next pasuk indicates, Karu b'deyem betor kriya, v'yomru, they said to Klal Yisrael, Haaretz asher avarnu ba, l'asur osa, tova haaretz miyod miyod, im chafetz banu Hashem, if Hashem is desirous of our entering Eretz Yisrael, we can do so. But unfortunately and tragically, they were overwhelmed by the Meraglim, who carried the day, and as a result, we have a Gzeira of Hashem Yisbarach that were going to be in the Midbar in the course of the next 40 years. 40 years of wandering, peregrinations in the Midbar. What's fascinating as well, if you look at the language of the Pesukim, you'll notice something very, I believe, incisive and very insightful. Initially, the language of the Pasuk, the Torah uses a verb which is also a striking verb, Shlach Lecha Anoshim B'yasuru Es Eretz Kanan. If I can just translate it, to tour the land. Latur, Lasur, with a tough. And a bit later, the names of the Shvatim, or the Roshei Shvatim, that was sent by Moshe to be the delegates, Lasur Es Haaretz, by Yishlach Osa Moshe, Lasur Es Haaretz, by Yeshuvim Mitur Haaretz, they toured the land, and the Lashon Hara, Haaretz Asher Toru Osa, and by the way, that's the connection to the end of the Pasha of Tzitzis, V'losasur Achir Levavtim Rachvei Nechem, the same verb is used over there, many have made the connection between the beginning of the Pasha and the end of the Pasha, but I just want to point out something else, that initially, the language of the Pasuk is a language of positive energy. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Va'alisem Esar, that they should ascend. Going up to Eretz Yisrael is always an aliyah. Not only a physical aliyah, but a spiritual aliyah as well. And even when the Meraglim initially came with their report, Va'yalu, and subsequently, Kolev, when he attempts to quiet the other Meraglim and tries to change the tone, although now they're the Arashni Rosa. And their reaction is, Leluchah Lalos, no, it's not possible. And then the Torah begins to use different terminology. Namely, they say, V'shtam ra'inu es ha'nefilim b'nei anok min ha'nefilim. The language that then the Torah uses a number of times is the language of nefilim. And ultimately the reaction of Moshe Aaron, Vayipo Moshe Aaron al Paneim, and a bit later, Bamidbar Hazeh Yiplu Figrechem, and the story of the Mapilim, Ki Amaliki Vaknani Ben Alfaltim, Unafaltim Bechorev. So we have, initially, we began with a high, a Lashon of Aliyah, and once they carried the day, the Torah almost tries to, in a telepathic kind of way, tell us that we went from Aliyah to Nefilah, from a high, from ascending to descending and coming down. And that's the parasha more or less here in Shlach. If you look in Sefer Yoshua, there we have a number of obvious distinctions between the description that we just saw in Shlach and the one that is in Sefer Yoshua. Here the Navi describes two individuals that are sent. Vayishlach Yoshua ben Nun and Hashitim, Shnayim Anashim Meraglim, Cheresh Leimor. The Lashon of the Pasuk is also very striking. It says Cheresh. They were sent clandestinely. And the Navi describes how the identity of these individuals is quickly discovered by the Melech Yericho, the king of Yericho, and he instructs Rachav to remand them to the custody of the authorities. She is protecting them. The king, through his agents, quickly is able to ferret out where they are and tells her she must give them over to the governmental authorities. However, Rachav, as she describes in Sefer Yoshua, she tells those Meraglim, I know ki natan Hashem lochem es haaretz. I know that Hashem has promised you Eretz Yisrael. V'chi nofla imaschem aleinu, v'chi namogu k'yosh v'yaretz v'nechen. We are essentially putty in your hands. We've heard Eitz HaShehovish Hashem es meyamsu v'nechen, all the nisim that Hashem performed for Klal Yisrael, leaving Mitzrayim, how they conquered the two Malchei Amori, and we don't have the ability to stand up to you. Why? Because we know that Hashem is behind everything you're doing. So she sees the Ad Hashem. She sees the inscrutable will of the Hashem is brought to realize the promise of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, and she somehow succeeds in secreting the Meraglim away from their would-be captors. So as I alluded to a moment ago, there are several very salient and fundamental distinctions between the two episodes. In Sefer Yoshua, the identity of the Meraglim was immediately uncovered. They didn't achieve their avowed goals. They barely escaped, but Baruch Hashem, they escaped. In the Meraglim episode of Shlach, they were eminently successful in their 40-day mission. They returned with a wealth of information, with a wealth of ideas. The irony is that the aborted mission in Sefer Yoshua was executed by two anonymous Meraglim. And the Meraglim of Shlach, on the other hand, are 12 distinguished heads of Shvatim. The Meraglim of the Torah operated in the open for an extended period of 40 days. The Meraglim of Sefer Yoshua operated, as the Pasuk uses this language, Cheresh. They operated undercover. But the main difference really between them lies in the ultimate telos of each group. The key word that occurs, as I mentioned many times in the Torah, and characterizes and defines their mission, is the term lasures aretz. In Sefer Yoshua, there the Navi uses a different verb, lachpores aretz. That's what the king of Yericho is told, that these Meraglim came lachpores aretz, and he sends a message to Rachav to remand these Meraglim, ki lachpores kol aretz bo. In Yeshua, the objective is a military one, designed to uncover the weaknesses, the Achilles heel of the citizenry of Eretz Israel in order to be able to conquer it. The Meraglim of the Torah, there, that is not their interest. And the Ramban in Chumash writes very clearly in Shlach that their object was to paint a beautiful portrait of Eretz Israel. Eretz Zonas Chalav Udvash. Hashem already testified to the goodness, to the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, why are Meraglim being sent? L'sameach, said the Ramban, to gladden the hearts of Klal Yisrael, who ultimately come to inhabit Eretz Yisrael. And those, the thrust of Moshe Rabbeinu sending the Meraglim was not to spy out the terrain, not to gain any kind of military advantage, because then he would have sent professional, career, army, trained scouts, and the like, and not 12 Nisim, and not 12 Rosh Hashvatim. The intent was for them to be captivated and to be won over by the beauty of the of Eretz Yisrael, thereby creating an excitement and a simcha that Klal Yisrael hopefully would be able to absorb from them, and there will be an infectious kind of excitement relating to Eretz Yisrael, and that was the intent, and unfortunately, that intent was ultimately negated. So the two missions are really diametrically opposed, and that's embedded in the language of the Psukim in Shlach, the Lashon of Surah Taretz, and in the case of the Meraglim and Sefer Yeshua, Lachpor Taretz. Lachpor is the military reconnaissance kind of mission. And Lasur is of a completely different nature, as I translated before. Lasur, to tour the country, take the grand tour, see all of its wonderful and beautiful aspects, the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. It's a completely different kind of mission. So the Meraglim of Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of returning with a glowing and favorable kind of report, rejected and despised the land. And they indicated that it was impervious to conquest. In the Lashon of the Pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech writes, and the Ramban refers to this, Vayimasu be'eretz chenda. It took the land that is described by Chazal, by the Torah, in Bechas HaMozum, Eretz Chenda Tobo Rechava. The term Chenda Rachal Veshik Zatzal always noted, connected it to the Lava Boy Sachmoy in Aser Sadiris, not to covet. Of course, Eretz Yisrael, the contrary. The mitzvah is Dafka, Lachmo des Oretz, to covet Eretz Yisrael, to see its beautiful aspects, to see the wondrous qualities of Eretz Yisrael. So here what happened was the opposite emerged. They succeeded in forging panic and depression in their divrei hasata neged Eretz Yisrael, their incitement against the country. And as I said, this is really very much indicated by the transformation that occurred in the people and by the difference in language that I mentioned earlier. Initially, language of Aliyah, Vayalu, Olonale, which is relevant with the spirit of Aliyah, a positive, buoyant, upward kind of trajectory. And after the dismal report, there's a total metamorphosis of tone from Aliyah to Nefilah, the element of pessimism. And that transformation from Aliyah to Nefilah is the quintessence of the tragedy of the story of the Meraglim. And in stark contrast, as I said a moment ago, to the tone of ascending and conquest, which is found in Sefer Yoshua. A few moments ago, I read the pasuk, which is a striking pasuk and a difficult pasuk. We have the Meraglim here in Pasha Shlach comment. They use the following expression: "Vanehi be'einenu kachagovim, we were in our eyes as grasshoppers. V'chein hayinu be'einayim, and that's how we were perceived by the denizens of Eretz Yisrael." So the Gemara in Saita is vexed and sorely troubled by this pasuk. And the obvious question is, how did they know how they were perceived by others? Were they Nevi'im? Were they prophets? Did they have Ruach HaKodesh, a high intuition? And I believe the answer to this kasha can be understood in very simple psychological terms. The answer lies in the profound psyche of a human being. The transgression of the Meraglim was founded upon the loss of their own self-esteem. Someone who loses his own self-esteem and who is insecure, someone who's wallowing in that kind of mindset will often consciously or subconsciously project and telegraph that message with his own body language as it's called, with his own physiognomy. And anyone with sharp antenna will be able to absorb that kind of body language. We'll understand from the way the person is behaving, the way the person is talking. He'll be able to, if someone is insightful and has this kind of understanding, he'll be able to pick up on that situation and more or less read where the person is. I always thought this is shot in the Pasuk in Mishlei, the Perek of Zayin. So HaMelech says, Kamayim haponim leponim kein lev ha'odom la'odom. You don't have to be a mind reader. You don't have to have telepathic powers. But you look at a person, Rabbi Shlomo Salant used to say that a person's face is a Rishus HaRavim. That's why you should always be in a positive, smiling kind of approach to individuals, because Rishus HaRavim is something which is public thoroughfare. And people see, looking at you, exactly where you're at. So if you greet them with a proper countenance, where the Gemara says in Ksubis, and the pasuk goes, "Hachlili einayim miyayin leven shinayim mechalav," that's obviously something which is outstanding. So this pasuk in Mishlei really indicates that. Kamayim haponim leponim, kein lev ha'adam la'adam. As water reflects, in the reflection of the water, you can see where exactly you're at in terms of your facial features. So too, lev ha'adam, a person who is insightful, can actually even read a person's heart. And that's exactly what happened. The pasuk says here, the Gemara in Saita asked that Kasha, that in our eyes we were like chagovim, like grasshoppers, v'chein hayinu b'einayim. And perhaps this distinction, or the distinctions that I drew earlier between the two episodes of the Meraglim, that which is found here in Shlach and the one that's mentioned in Yeshua, is also reflected in another very sharp comment articulated by the Ran, one of the Gedolei Rishonim in the Drash HaSaran. He is mechalek between the Chet HaMeraglim and the Chet HaEgel. And it's interesting that the Chet HaEgel, according to the Midrashim that Rashi cites, that's far more heinous than the Chet HaMeraglim, which is identified with Lashon Hara. Rashi assumed that the Chet HaEgel consisted of a violation of the three cardinal averis that the Jews did give up his life for. Rashi cites Midrashim and Psukim that indicate that. But the Chet HaMeraglim essentially is Vayotziyu Divas Haaretz. They spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And relative to the three cardinal averis that one is obligated to Yivetz HaNefesh, Eno Dome. So then, how do you account for the far greater severity of the punishment for the Chet HaMeraglim, where the Torah tells us they were destined now to wander 40 years? That we know from the Leil Shabbos, when we daven, Mechun Aranula, Arba'im Shana, Kut Bedor, Vomar Am Toele, Vavhein, Vein Lo Yodu Durochai, Asher Nishbati Liapi, Im Yivoyin El Menuchasi, the Rebbeinu Shalom took a Shvua. And even though the Gemara says in Chagiga, also Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Rebbeinu Shalom was Chozer, Pasuk says, Vayom Hashem Salachi Gidvarecha, but unquestionably, 40 years of wandering in the desert is a very enormous price to pay for Lashon Hara. So the Ran is bothered by this kasha. And the Ran presents the following fascinating answer. The Ran says that every movement has a slogan. We are familiar with many slogans, even in our own very days. There are many protests taking place in the United States, and there are a number of rather prominent slogans that are being utilized. I'll try to avoid mentioning them and be politically correct. But I can't breathe, b'chulu b'chulu. I won't go into all of that. So every movement needs a slogan. So the Ran is examining what were the slogans of these two movements, namely the Chet HaMeraglim and the Chet HaEgel. So the Psukim indicate very clearly, in the context of the Chet HaEgel, when they were in a frenzy, the way the Ramban and Moshe Rishonim learned not like Rashi, and they assumed that the issue was they went into a panic, and as a result they felt rudderless and leaderless. Moshe Rabbeinu left them, didn't come back exactly when they expected him to return. And so right away, they persuade Aaron HaKohen to go ahead and put together the ego. And then the following statement is recorded by the Torah. These are your gods, Israel, who've taken you out of Egypt. So, fascinatingly, what Lashon is used here, Asher Ha'elucha, means they were masking to the fact that Hashem took them out. And they're on a Aliyah trajectory. They're moving in terms of navigational positioning. They're moving towards Eretz Yisrael. Okay, They felt they needed an ego somehow. But their decision to make the ego was a function of panic, a function of the fact that they were without a manhik. But the slogan that they're utilizing is of a positive nature. Asher ha'alucha, as I mentioned before, the lashon of Aliyah that's found at the beginning of Parshas Shlach. However, the slogan of Raglan, says the Ran, is the very opposite. What is their slogan? Nitna Rosh, let's appoint the leader, v'nashu l'mitzrayim. Let's go back to Egypt. Essentially, they wanted to regress. They wanted to move backwards. They wanted to basically reject Hashem Yisbarach, or in reality, reject the entire divine plan, which was told to Moshe Rabbeinu with the sneh, namely, Ta'avdu nes Elokim al ha'har hazeh, Ta'avdu nun, after 49 days, you're going to come to Maimon HaSinai. The Maimon HaSinai will be the precursor to entering Eretz Yisrael, and there our ultimate destiny will unfold. And instead, what do they say? No, we want to go back. Nitna Rosh in Ashur Mitzrayim, says the Ran, this was the distinction between the Cheder Ego and the Cheder Baraglim. One is an Aliyah trajectory, even though there was a terrible Chet, but one is a Nefila trajectory, a movement of regression, of going back, and as a result, Rachman Litzlan, we were punished 40 years of wandering in the desert. In sharp contradistinction is the clear mantra of the Meraglim of Sefer Yehoshua. Because there, the Navi stresses the Hashkoch of Hashem Yisbarach and his stewardship, his guiding hand, leading us to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, Eretz Yisrael is not a facile acquisition. Eretz Yisrael nicknames the Yisurin. Our ability to integrate and to nurture a love for it is largely a function of our attitude towards Eretz Yisrael. That's really critical. And the connection to Eretz Yisrael should be that of, should parallel that of a chosen to his kala. The Vilna Gaon, Kayadua, in the famous letter that he wrote to his family, he attempted to make Aliyah. He unfortunately was not successful. And he writes in that letter, just a precis of it, he says to his family, people often travel and leave their families for an extended period of time for economic reasons, for monetary reasons. They leave their wives, they leave their children, they wander to and fro. I, says the guy to his family, am traveling to Eretz HaKadosh that everyone is desirous of seeing. Chendas kol klal Yisrael el yeinim v'tachtonim. It's the land that's desired by all, not just by people here living on earth, but it's desired as well by the entire heavenly entourage, by Malachi Ashoretz, by Hashem Yisbarach himself, has a love for Eretz Yisrael. Indeed, Eretz Yisrael is, as the Bechas Havazim describes it, and the Pasuk in Chumash, Eretz Chemda Teiva Urechava. So we have to yearn for it, we have to long for it, we have to desire it, we have to cling to it, because then Shum Safek, Eretz Yisrael is lovely beyond all lands. And that's exactly the problem that was displayed here by the Meraglim. Vayimasu be'eretz chenda. They did not display this chiba, this love of Eretz Yisrael, but if anything, just the opposite. So when one examines the chet of the Meraglim, it would seem that the shorish of the chet, lichora, is a lack of emuna, a lack of bitachon, that Hashem will accompany us to Eretz Yisrael. And that's the sense that one has when one reads the Parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, right after the story of the Meraglim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu in Perek Yudalev, Pasuk Yudalev, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Ad Ono Yina'atsuni Yomeh, V'Ad Ono Lo Yaminu Bi. How long are they not going to believe? A chesaron in emunah. And that's when he suggests to Moshe Rabbeinu that let me part with Klal Yisrael and I'll make a nation out of you, Moshe Rabbeinu, which of course Moshe Rabbeinu rejects categorically with one of the favorite arguments that he always presents. Because if you do something like that, the reaction will be of the Umas HaElah, that obviously you're impotent, you're not capable of bringing Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and that's why you decided on this newfangled idea of making a great nation out of me. And right away, Moshe Rabbeinu invokes some of these Gilmidos Shel Rachamim, as he did in the context of the Cheder Ego, and he asked Hashem to forgive Klal Yisrael, by Yom Hashem, Sabachni Kidvarecha. But the simple pshat of the Psukim indicate that the Ched was a Chisaron of Emunah. In Sefer Dvarim, with the Torah, Mishnah Torah, when we have again a rearticulation of the Cheder Ego, the Torah rearticulates a number of the events that occurred. So there again, the language of the Pasuk is, when the Torah speaks about what happened, Ubadavar hazeh einchem ma'aminim b'Hashem Elokeichem, a lack of emunah. So that seems to be the predominant position, both found in Parshas Dvarim, as well as here in Parshas Shlach. That was the chet, a chesaron of emunah. In the Parshas Pinchas, when the Torah speaks about Chalukas Haaretz, dividing Eretz Yisrael, there the Torah uses the following language. The Torah says that the only two individuals who were able to be spared, Kiim Kolei ben Yefune v'Yoshua ben Nun. So Rashi right away comments over there in Pinchas. Rashi says, Al hanoshim lo nigzera gzera samaraglim. But women, there was no gzera against women. The gzera was against the male folk. Why, says Rashi? V'fishehen hayu mechavavei ses haaretz. Because the women in Klal Yisrael loved Eretz Yisrael. V'anoshim omri, what do the men say? Nit narosh v'nashur v'mitzrayim ra. Let's go back to Egypt. V'anoshim omros, and the context, of course, is the context of B'nai Slavchad. What do they say? T'novan v'achuzo. That's the parasha that's found in Tinchas. They wanted a share of Eretz Yisrael. So again, the mashmos of that comment of Rashi, or the mashmos of those sukim, was the tviya against the Dor HaMidbar, a chisaron of chiba saaretz. Instead of diba saaretz, Lashon Hara, they should have shown chiba saaretz, love for Eretz Yisrael. And that's what the Xer and Meragdim occurred, and that's what the Pasuk says in Tilden Kuvav, V'ayimasu v'eretz chemdo, lo he'aminu b'dvaro. So that Pasuk seems to combine both of the elements that I just spoke about. Number one, lo he'aminu b'dvaro, a lack of emunah, and the initial segment of the Pasuk, V'ayimasu v'eretz chemdo, a lack of chibas haaretz. So first the Pasuk in Tehillim takes them to task for a lack of chibas haaretz, and then the Pasuk stresses as well the Chisaron of Emunah. Going back to Parshas Shlach, so the Torah elaborates on the reaction of Hashem Yisbarach and that of Moshe Rabbeinu to that which happened, and the Pasuk says, V'tapchem Hashem Atem V'avaz Yiyeh V'eveitzi Otzom V'yadu Es Haaretz Hashem Ma'astem Bo. Here the Torah stresses Hashem Ma'astem Bo, the land that you spurned, that you unfortunately and tragically viewed as being repugnant, and that's the Tekocha. So here there's an obvious question that has to be raised. I understand the Chisaron of Emunah and the Chisaron of Bitochon that was displayed by Klal Yisrael, but to say the Chet is based on Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda, Asher Ma'asten Bo, where do you see that in Parsha Shlach? Initially, as I mentioned earlier, when they came back, their initial report before they qualified it, before the FS, they said, Banu Laaretz Asher Shlachtanu, Vigam Zalas Cholavud Vashiv Ezer Piryo. They even came with a display of the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, with the beautiful wares of Eretz Yisrael. Yes, a moment later, FS Kiyazom, they indicated that the people who live there live in impregnable fortresses, and it's not possible to conquer. Or in Bitzuros Gedolos Meod. But where do you see this idea, namely Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda? Where is it inherent in the Pesukim? in Parsha Shlach. As I mentioned, in Parsha Dvarim, where the Torah reiterates and re-articulates what happened, there it says, Vayashivu Ofenu Dabar, Vayomu Tova Haaretz Asher Hashem Elokeinu Nosein Lanu, V'lo Abisem La'alos, you didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, V'atanu Es Pi Hashem, but essentially they sent over the Shlachim of Eretz its inhabitants. But the Ramban disagrees with Rashi, and the Ramban assumes that, no, when the Pasuk says, Vayomru Tova Haaretz V'ein V'ein, it's referring to all the Raglan, not just Yeshua V'Kolev. But that statement of Eretz Acheretz Yeshua was not said in the presence of Moshe V'Aaron, because undoubtedly Moshe V'Aaron were fully aware of the beautiful quality of Eretz Yisrael, of its innate goodness and beauty. So when did they say this? Eretz Acheretz Yoshvel? So the Rabban said they said it behind closed doors. B'aleihem, when they were back in their tents, back in their homes. After Yeshua B'kolei said, Olo Malveh B'yarashni Rosa, Ki Yochol Nuchalo, they came with a very positive kind of kivun that they were muttering in their tents, the other Raglan. And that's what the Pasuk says, Vayotzi Dibas Haaretz. But in front of Moshe Aaron, what did they say? Tova Haaretz V'ein V'ein. No, there's a kind of Echad B'peh V'Echad B'lev. Publicly they said one thing, they praised Eretz Yisrael, but deep down in their hearts, and that emerged when they came home, in the Dalai Lamas of their homes, then they clearly were critical of Eretz Yisrael. So again, the question is, so where's the Vayimatsu V'Eretz Chemba? David HaMelech says in Tehillim, that they were moist there in Chemba. So many years ago, I heard from my guy, Rabbi Avram Pam, the Chassag de Bracha, an answer to this question. The Gemara says in Bar Basra, and Daf Kuf Mem Beis, that someone who wants to go ahead and give property to an Ubar, HaMezaka Ubar Lo Kona. You can't give property to an Ubar, an embryo, that's in its mother's womb. That the Gemara calls a being matne lidavar shalom bali olam. The Uba has not yet come into the world. And a person can be matne to his children, to people who are living. Why is that so? Even to a young child, you can be matne the chasim to. Hoyo b'daito shalom kroy v'eitzel b'no. Because the person is close to his children, the person has a connection to them. Rashbam there explains the Mishnah is talking about one's children, and then unquestionably, if you want to transfer property to young children or to children in general, there's a complete gmiras das. But in Ubar, certainly that's not possible. And certainly, an Ubar that is of another individual, namely of another woman, certainly you're not kohen. What's the distinction? So Rashbam explained the name of an Adam Gobel, the following has been. Anytime an Ubar in his mother's womb, there are many, many sfeikos, there are many areas of doubt. Maybe chas v'shalom, the mother will miscarry. Maybe she won't carry the child to term. And even if the child is born, but till the age 30 days, the child is called a suffering nefel, al pi halacha, and it could be there may be problems with the child. There may be some medical issues, other issues, all kinds of shoshos, all kinds of sfeikos. So therefore, undoubtedly, if a person wanted to be mezakeh and ubar, there's not a complete 100% gemiras das in the course of transferring the property to him, because it could be he won't be a bar kayama. He's not going to be someone who will live out his days, but a father to a son, unquestionably, the ava of a father to his son is so overwhelming that lo yala al adas, that there's not even a halimir that something's going to happen to his child, because he sees his child as being wonderful, as being a bar kayama. He'll be zecher tarich hasyamim yes Hashem. No, there's a distinction between the gemiras das of a child of mine and an Uber, a fundamental distinction. So he, Rapam, suggested the same idea regarding the Meraglim. What was the chet we said? A lack of emuna, a lack of bitochon. But how did they come to that matzav that they became so miyush? They became so hopeless. They came to a point where they were so despondent, they didn't see any possibility of this coming to fruition, and they were lacking chibas haaretz, because had they had chibas haaretz, had they had a love of Eretz Yisrael based on the promise that Hashem Yisbarach told them, and based on what Yeshua the Kollel indicated, Tova haaretz niyom biyom, there's not even a hanunina that something could happen, that something awry will occur. There's the shorish hadvarim at the root of where their chisaron was. They looked on Eretz Yisrael as a child, as an ubar, as an embryo in the womb of another mother, as not as their child, and as a result, that led to bayimasu be'eretz chemda, all kinds of shashos, all kinds of chodim, all kinds of fears, lo eminu bidvaro, mashen, Yeshua v'kolev, then we see the reaction is very clear. Vayomu el-kol adas b'nei Yisrael le'imor, tova haaretz, and then they say, im chokeitz banu Hashem, if Hashem is desirous, ve'evi yasanu haaretz azos. So we don't understand here, the haskalas advarim is not mimin ha'tayna. The Meraglim said, lo mucha lavos, ki chokeku vimenu, we can't conquer Eretz Yisrael, they're much stronger than we are. So they should have answered right away, no, Hashem will bring us an Eretz Yisrael. And instead, what do they say? Tova haaretz v'yom v'yom. But in light of what we said, perhaps we can understand very well, the Ikar, the Kuda was, the Meraglim thought that, okay, Eretz Yisrael is Tova, it's beautiful, but there are many, many insurmountable difficulties. And we're going to fall by the wayside, and therefore right away, that led to Yeush, led to despondency, depression, Dikaon. Because if you say that the land is good, there are other lands that also are good. There are many countries in the world that have beautiful landscape, beautiful bodies of water, very scenic kind of areas. But if you view Eretz Yisrael the way Yeshua the Kali did, when the Vilna Gaon wrote about Eretz Yisrael, Chemdas kol ha'ilamos, kol ha'elyeinim ha'tachteinim mishtekim eveha, the Lashon of Digar Sagro, and they had that kind of outlook, there's no way that there's going to be any shash. You can completely rely on the Haftacha of Hashem Yisbarach. And of the Kesher that one has to have to Eretz Yisrael has to be one of complete and total unadulterated Chibas HaAretz based on the Haftacha of Hashem Yisbarach. There's no basis in Yishash. Once you don't have Tibas Haaretz, once you approach Eretz Yisrael with all types of skeptical sveikos, then of course it will no longer be Tov Haaretz Mo'ol Miyom. And even Arayom Hazeh, we know that there are many sakonos and shoshos for all living in Eretz Yisrael, and undoubtedly all of us who live here, Baruch Hashem, who are zochah to live here, we are to a large extent meluma benisim. We are ragel benisim. We see constant nisim on an ongoing kind of basis. But the reason why Hashem is barach is mezakos for those nisim, because we have a chibas haaretz. We have an amuna bitachon in Hashem is barach. We know that eini Hashem elokecha ba bereishis hashana rak rishono. We know Rabbi Yehuda Halevi said chayi neshamos avir artzeich, that it's not possible to live wholesomely and ideally without Avir Hashem Eretz Yisrael. As the Gemara says in Barabasa, Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkin. We know that there's a Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael. We know that Eretz Yisrael has so many unbelievable skulas. And this actually was something that, a quality that the women Dafka in Eretz Yisrael understood better than the men folk. I once heard Hagoyim Abanto of Eretz Yisrael, he commented on the Lashon of Eretz Chenda, a land that is so desirable. So he pointed out first the distinction between the two Lavim and Aseres HaDibros. One Lav says, Mos Yisaveh, and one Lav, the Torah says, Lo Sachmod, And the Rishonim explained, the Rambam writes this very clearly, in Sefer HaMitzvos he writes this, and also in Hilchos Eilav HaAveda, the love of Bosu Tzaveh simply refers to a person who has a desire for a chetet that belongs to his friend. He wants to acquire a car that his friend has. He wants to acquire some other luxury item that his friend may have. So he has a tshuka, but he doesn't do anything to realize that tshuka. He doesn't take any steps, any actions in order to carry that out. The Lava of Sachmon, says the Rambam, and he proves it actually from Sukkim in Tanakh, that refers to not just that one has a desire to acquire possessions belonging to someone else, but one goes ahead and takes all types of steps in order to make sure that he acquires that b'chush. And the examples the Rambam gives, one of the famous examples is the story of Achav and Izebel with the Keren of Nabas HaYisraeli, where there was a chemda, and she made sure that that chemda was carried out through all kinds of nefarious means. So Rabban Soloveitchik said that the chet of the Meraglim was they only saw Eretz Yisrael in terms of a tshuka. Yeah, there's a desire. They have an ava for Eretz Yisrael. It was an ava that was belibam, but it wasn't a complete, absolute kind of ava. They weren't ready to go and invest all the time and effort that's required in order to be able to live in Eretz Yisrael. And even though he pointed out that the Rambam Shita Kayadua, the Rambam writes, "Barashim etzaros v'shaptim bo as a mitzvah kiyumis." But even if though it's not a mitzvah kiyumis, but there's no question that a person's attachment to Eretz Yisrael should be one of unqualified and absolute chibas haaretz, a chenda to Eretz Yisrael. Will nothing will stop me from coming to Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam does not count kibush Eretz Yisrael meaning a mitzvah, because the Rambam holds it's only a mitzvah kiyumis. The mitzvah of Arashim Asaras Yishapten Bo. And the Rambam doesn't count mitzvahs kiyumios. But regarding the basic attitude that one should have towards Eretz Yisrael, there's no question that that attitude should completely and totally reflect this 100% unadulterated Sivas Haaretz. This is the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu consummated with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, with each one of them. With Avraham, with Yitzchak, with Yaakov, Avinu, but it goes even further. Because Moshe Rabbeinu himself, we know, already starting from the Torah of the Sneh, and later on continuing in Parshas Vayera, and later on, the Asaretz Eskor, so Chazal say, Malamit Shebris Kusal Aretz. It's a bris that Hashem Yisbarach has with Eretz Yisrael. It's a Sifra, but the Sifra is not only referring to the Bris Mila Absarim alone, because rather that's found in Tzukim Elatzicha, but we're talking about the Tzukim at the end of the Techocha, the Zachadiyas Bris Yaakov, the Avraham Bris Yitzchak, the Avraham Bris Avraham Eskor, the Haaretz Eskor. There's an independent Bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Eretz Yisrael. And Avinu B'chayi already points out in his Teresh Al HaTorah that the Torah uses the expression of Marusha twice. Once in Zos HaBracha, Torah Siv Olam HaMoshe Marusha Kilas Yaakov, and once with reference to Eretz Yisrael, V'nasati Oysel Lachem Marusha Ani Hashem. These two, and there's no question that Ein Torah Keteras Eretz Yisrael, Chazal Kamen, the Pasuk in Bereishis, Uzahav Haaretz Ahi Toiv, Ein Toiv Ve'Ein Torah Keteras Eretz Yisrael. So a Jew has to, number one, be magdish, all his kaifas, to limud HaTorah, and unquestionably a Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael will have a double star. On the one hand, they'll have the marasha of Torah at the highest of levels, but they'll have also the marasha of Eretz Yisrael together with it. And Rabban Soloveitchik referred to a medrash in Shashim, the medrash comments on the Pasuk Samchuni Barashishos. Medrash said there are two types of Eish. There's the Eish of the Sneh and the Eish of Moriah, of Har Moriah, of the Akedah. And these reflect, he contended, two different elements. The Eish of the Sneh refers to the Ava that we have for Eretz Yisrael. The Eish of Moriah is the Ava that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And unquestionably, that Eretz Yisrael, which has both of these elements, the Eish of Torah and the Eish of Eretz Yisrael, unquestionably, the approach that we have to have is the approach of Yoshua Mekolei. Teva Haaretz Ve'ei. I'll just mention, by way of Siyum, the Netziv has a comment on Hamik Dover. And he writes the following. The distinction between Eretz Yisrael and the rest of the world is not just in Kamus, not just in terms of quantity, but primarily in quality. Says the Netziv, Ki Amnam Yeshabe Arotz of Tevis Ma'elam. There are many countries that are replete with Tov. I will call Tov to be the Milvachin Hagesh HaTova. How? Where is the Tova Ma'od Ma'od? That the Hashkocha of Hashem is Barak is a direct one. Dafka, people living in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we know that on the one hand, there's a greater Achrayus, as the Ramban writes in Chumash a number of times, Eretz Yisrael in the Soveles, Ovi Avera. But on the other hand, there's also a great schus that one is able to achieve heights that one cannot achieve in any single area, including the area of Talmud Torah, and Eretz Yisrael Mesugo, because of the Marasha aspect of it, that one could reach incredible heights. The Al-Kain, he says, HaTov Murgashma Kim Eis Hashem Hu, Moshe Nema B'dvorim, Eretz Hashem Hashem Hu Gera Dorish Osa. And in effect, I saw in the Torah Shleima, quotes the Medrash, Rav Kashi quotes the Medrash, Tov Haaretz Ve'ei, that one who lives in Eretz Yisrael is Zoche, not just to Olam Haba, but Zoche to Olam Hazeh as well. And the Mishnah writes in Peah, Eilu Dvorim She'odom Ochol Peoseim Ve'olam Hazeh, I can't get us to Olam Haba, but in Eretz Yisrael, these two worlds are not separated one from the other. One can be Zoche in Eretz Yisrael, first to Ruchnius and to Gashmius, and this is exactly what a person, all of us who are zeicha to live in Eretz Yisrael, understand the double language of the pasuk. Teva haaretz le'ed le'ed, that because of the chibas haaretz that we have in the hashkach of Hashem Yisbarach, we're zeicha to shefa rab b'shnei ha'olamos bein olam hazeh u'bein olam hazeh.
Shkach.
Roshiach.